Climate change is transforming the North as ocean waters warm. Fish and marine toxins normally seen down south find new habitat. And that's having a major impact on the people who gather wild food from the ocean, including Alaska Natives, who eat more wild protein than any other ethnic group in Alaska. So we're beginning our week-long look at how Natives are responding to warmer lands and waters by heading to a Cook Inlet beach at low tide. Johanna Urich has more.
Alaska Natives say when the tide goes out, the table is set. In Cook Inlet, it isn't just Natives out on the beaches. Many in south-central Alaska head to Clam Gulch each summer. One of those out there with her shovel and bucket is Mary Lou Butteroff, a Kenaitse tribal member.
I eat them raw. I mean, when I'm on the beach, I have to have at least five. I just rinse them off in that scuzzy water.
But how safe are those razor clams? Mary Lou has never gotten sick, but anyone eating untested shellfish is taking a risk. Razor clams are relatively safe, but butter clams are the worst. They can hold PSP toxins up to 2 years. Cooking shellfish doesn't guard against PSP, though it reduces concerns about some marine toxins. More than 10 years ago, Natives down the coast on Kodiak Island noticed that paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, was increasing. It was happening more often in places it hadn't before, and even in the winter when shellfish used to be safe. It wasn't just a little tingling in the mouth, either. Clams seemed more toxic. More people were getting sick. A Kodiak elder asked Bruce Wright, a biologist, for answers, but he didn't have any.
It's real quiet, and all the other elders are looking at him, and he goes, "For a scientist, you sure don't know very much, do you?" So I promised him I'd try.
The state only tests commercially grown shellfish. A decade later, he was working down the coast for the Aleutian Pribilof Islands in a region where people relied on clams and some had died eating toxic ones. He and Ray Rolland with the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program tested clams throughout the state for a year. They trained people from the southern tip of Alaska to the islands on the Russian side of the Aleutian chain and north to the Pribilof Islands in the Bering Sea to prepare samples and put the word out on PSP, more commonly known as red tide. One of those trained was Desiree Roll, an Aleut in King Cove.
Prior to this project, it was like Russian roulette. We would wait for our neighbors to go eat the clams, and then if they were good, we'd go get our clams. Somebody had to be first.
That testing program resulted in the first and only statewide baseline on PSP in Alaska. It helped educate people in many communities about the risk of PSP, but it did not answer most of the questions asked by that Kodiak native more than a decade ago about why there seemed to be more problems with toxic clams.
Is there evidence that is climate related? The problem that we have, particularly up here where we're at, is that we don't have enough data.
Ray Rolland with the Marine Advisory Program says with no data on what Alaska's shellfish was like in the past, it's hard to say if toxic levels are changing and why. Studies also indicate that most people who do get sick from eating shellfish don't bother to get tested. Toxic algae blooms increase with warmer ocean conditions and increased rainfall in calm waters. That much seems to be associated with climate. Rolland says that other marine toxins, which are a problem down south, will probably move north as conditions change. In 2004, a warm year, cruise ship passengers got sick eating oysters grown in Prince William Sound. It was Vibrio parahemolyticus, a toxic bacteria, something Rolland thought would never be a problem in Alaska's cold waters.
We had a record warm summer. One farm that was implicated in Prince William Sound had water that was 20 degrees centigrade. You could swim in it.
The 2004 outbreak was the third worst Vibrio event in the U.S. Rolland and his team went to work and found a way to keep commercial oyster farms out of hot water.
You just drop your gear for a few weeks, and it doesn't take very long.
The state put a Vibrio prevention program in place. That, along with existing PSP testing requirements, assures the safety of Alaska's commercially grown oysters. In the Aleutians, the network Wright and Rolland helped create continues to monitor clamming beaches and educate local residents about PSP. The state's also starting a pilot program for community monitoring. Those efforts may help increase the safety of clamming, which remains a risky business. I'm Johanna Urich.